This episode of Anxiety Slayer is brought to you by the Anxiety Slayer Academy, where we're offering 30% off our popular How to Calm Your Fragile Mind course. You can get the course at anxietyslayeracademy.com and simply use the coupon code SPRING to get 30% off. Welcome back to Anxiety Slayer. It's so good to be with you this week, Ananga.
Hey, Shen.
This week, we're discussing how anxiety can rob us of our joy and self-compassion and what we can do about it. And before we begin, we'd like to shout out to a couple of new patrons, Jacqueline and Stephanie. Thank you so much for your support. If you'd like to become an Anxiety Slayer patron and unlock a world of support, guidance, and inner calm, plus more than 200 downloads, you can join us at patreon.com/anxietyslayer.
We often receive questions asking us to share more about working with unwanted thoughts and painful emotions. And we also receive regular requests for more information on Ayurveda, India's ancient science of life, and its teachings on calming the mind. So over the next few weeks, we'll be going in depth into both subjects. And this is also the subject of our How to Calm Your Fragile Mind course. I think it's a good place to begin with why fragile mind. It's a reflection on the nature of our mind, that our mind can be easily disturbed. This is one of the teachings of Ayurveda, that our mind can be very easily disturbed and unsettled. And we're going to be exploring how that relates to anxiety and how we can support and steady our minds, how we can nourish our minds, and how that brings peace and engagement with our life.
And there's something about knowing how fragile our minds are that makes it just a bit more comfortable in the practice of supporting our minds, because we're not alone in this. This is a human experience, and some people have better coping mechanisms than others. Some are more sensitive than others, but big picture, we all have fragile minds.
Yeah, at different stages of life and in different circumstances of life, sometimes it's more fragile than others. Sometimes it's more resilient. Our capacities ebb and flow. But Ayurveda teaches that there's a lot we can do to support the mind and increase resilience. But it's really helped me understanding, firstly, that Ayurveda and the Vedic wisdom teachings tell us that we are not our mind. That really helped me. Because when we're caught in anxiety, we identify right into it and we start to believe the mind, which is not only fragile, but it's a tyrant. In the wisdom texts of the Vedas, in the Bhagavad Gita, it says that our mind can be our best friend or our worst enemy. And it tends to default to being our enemy, and it can give us a lot of difficulty. So when we know we're not our mind, we're above our mind, we're beyond our mind. The Vedas teach that above the mind is the intelligence, and beyond the intelligence is the soul. And that teaching alone has been the greatest help for me in overcoming anxiety. So this is what we're looking at in this course, which is very much based on the wisdom teachings of Ayurveda. And it just gives us that place of stepping back, zooming out. And it's good to know I'm not my mind. My mind doesn't have to be in a place of bullying me. And what can I do? What can I do to feel more balanced, more joyful, more present in my life, and to have more control over unwanted thoughts?
Being in the question of it all, instead of in that space of thinking you're knowing what's going on or judging what's going on or being extra hard on yourself, is just step back and ask, what's happening here? Before our podcast got started today, we were having a conversation about how fragile our minds can be when we are already feeling depleted, and how just one more thing, or that straw that breaks the camel's back, can be there when we're just worn out. Knowing that and being in tune with where you're at and emphasizing the importance of understanding your own fragility, your own mental tiredness, is a crucial step toward healing. Because sometimes it's just that fatigue of wanting our minds to stop being the tyrant and to be like, oh, wait a minute, perhaps I'm feeling the way that I'm feeling right now because I didn't get much sleep last night, because I'm in the throes of a stressful situation at work, because something's on my mind that I'm worried about, whatever the case may be, you can come back and be more understanding and kind. And in that space, you're really going to be able to thrive in a way that you might not have been before.
Yeah, definitely. Beginning with, as you say, stepping back, making space, self-compassion, questioning the mind rather than taking dictation from it, because it can be very strident in the thoughts it serves up to us. And when we learn to step back and question those thoughts, or even just practice ignoring them, negating the mind is a teaching of Ayurveda, where we just carry on with what we're doing and let it chatter away, but don't buy into its propaganda, which is a practice. And on some days it's easier than others, but it's been very helpful for me practicing doing that over the years. It's brought me a lot more mental peace. So yeah, not to just accept and take dictation when the mind throws up these sometimes really scary thoughts. You and I were talking earlier about sometimes it's helpful to just say to the mind, maybe,
yeah,
you know, not engage with it, not give it anything that it can throw back at us and gather energy from, because that's what it tends to do. Normally when the mind throws up an unwanted thought, we kind of gasp and we freeze and we're looking for evidence. Either we're going to look for evidence that it could be true, or we're going to try and bargain with it and find ways it's not true. And then we feel that resistance to what the mind's bringing. All of it causes more stress and all of it costs us energy. But if we can just say, maybe thoughts, they're not facts. It's when we think they're facts, they're just thoughts. And the more stressed we are, and as you said, the more tired we are, the less energy we have and the more energy those thoughts have to break in. So to not engage with them is a good practice. And it is a practice. It's a lifelong practice. And there are days when we will be so grateful that we could do it, and other days when it would be more challenging. But we just need to keep practicing, keep going.
Yeah, because the more success you have with your practice, the more you can look back and say, whoa, today was quite challenging. I'm so grateful that I know that I have, that there's a new day tomorrow, and that I've had success before in working through this.
Yeah, and that non-identification as well. I will say to you or another friend, you know, I've had a really tough day with my mind today. But that's different to thinking what's wrong with me, like we're identifying into the turbulence. It's a different experience to say my mind's giving me some grief. We can have a laugh about it. We can step back. We can bring some techniques in and some support in to feel better, to steady it down and to feel more balanced, rather than identifying right in with the mind and thinking this is us, which we can so easily do. And then we think, what's wrong with me? That identity with the mind, where we're bonded to it and we think it's us, but it's not.
And this is where using your senses to calm your mind can be really helpful. Exploring the power of sensory techniques in calming the mind and bringing you back to the present moment. How right now the air feels in my office. It's a bit cool, feels nice. What am I hearing outside? Is there bird song? Is there something going on in the neighborhood? What am I doing to bring myself right here, right now, instead of into a story that is trying to dictate something other than what's happening in this moment?
Yeah, in this moment, what we know to be true, what we know to be happening. And very often our senses can be delivering us too much information, which can be overwhelming to the mind. We've discussed this before, how sensory overload increases anxiety, overstimulation increases anxiety. We're seeing more and more people in our communities now walking around with headphones and earplugs and trying to block out some of that excess sound that they find disturbing. I also have earplugs with me if I'm out and about, sometimes at home as well. If there's kids screaming next door, I put my earplugs in so I can read. And it saves me a lot of energy rather than thinking, oh, I wish they'd be quiet, or I hope they settle down soon. I can get a little preoccupied with wanting that noise to stop. But if I put earplugs in, I've dealt with it and I've adjusted my environment. So that's another thing we can really look at, is adjusting our own environment to be more comfortable for us. There's so much noise and incoming information. So in Ayurveda, the senses are described as the knowledge acquiring senses. That's what they're called. And these days they tend to be the stress acquiring senses because there's so much going on around us. But we can use them to deliver nourishment and peace to the mind through smell is one of the easiest ways to do it, through using essential oils, through touch, or the exercise that you shared, Shan, in a recent episode, listing things we can see, hear, touch, taste, smell, counting down that 5-4-3-2-1 exercise that we've given in previous episodes of using the senses to help us feel grounded and really anchor us. And it's the opposite to the senses delivering disturbance. It's very effective over time to do that regularly for calming anxiety.
That just made me think of one of my favorite blankets. I have this beautiful, it not only is it just lovely, it's this beautiful blanket. It's just the right weight and it's incredibly soft. And sometimes when I just need a little extra sweetness, just wrap that right around my shoulders. It really is a little security blanket in a way. And the weight of it is just this sweet gift that I can give myself.
Yeah, really important in calming anxiety, the sense of touch. We had questions a couple of years ago about weighted blankets and do they help calm anxiety? And yeah, they do. Not that we have to necessarily buy a custom-made weighted blanket, but we might just choose to add more weight to our bedding or buy a heavier blanket and fold it over double so it's got more weight to it where we choose to sit and rest and read. I've got a couple of heavy blankets too that are really helpful. One thing I was reminded of this week with anxiety is that we tend to be absent-minded. We are distracted by the unwelcome sensations of anxiety. We might be zoomed in on sensations in our body, and we forget to adjust our environment because we're not in our body properly. We're not responding to our needs. Sometimes we might forget that we need to drink, or we're hungry, or we need to step outside and take some breaths of fresh air. Anxiety can very much make us feel spaced out and ungrounded, absent-minded. So all of these things that help us come back into our awareness and make choices that are supportive, they all antidote anxiety and also eventually calm down these unwanted running thoughts because it slows the pace down in the mind.
And then we have the emotional stress release technique that is also helpful and a valuable tool for getting some relief from the unwanted thoughts and emotions that we've been talking about, from that really place of being spaced out or just not right, not quite right.
Yeah, you just feel a bit off. And we need to tend to ourselves. We need to take care of ourselves. That's a beautiful technique that we spell out how to do it in the course. It's something we haven't shared on the podcast before. It involves two points on your forehead that are called neurovascular holding points. I learned this when I was studying kinesiology some years ago. It's a very simple technique and it's really helpful. You just take a few deep breaths, relax your shoulders, relax your jaw, settle in for a moment, and then just allow whatever's concerning you, whatever thought is in your mind that you'd rather be far away from, just allow it there. Give it your attention for a couple of minutes, and then you use these couple of points where you take your fingertips and find the points which are located midway between your eyebrows and your hairline. Above each eyebrow, just a little way above each eyebrow. If you touch your eyebrow and let your fingertips just slide up about an inch or two, you'll feel there's two little raised areas there. And you just lightly touch them and push up just a few millimeters, just very lightly push up on those areas. And it stimulates these neurovascular points, which encourage blood flow to the front of the brain, which helps us process and relax. Again, it's taught in more detail in our course, but it's a very helpful, gentle technique.
I'm picturing all of our listeners right now with their fingers up trying to find that ridge. All right, I found it.
We used to teach this in workshops a lot, and it's quite surprising how helpful it is. Or another really comforting way to do it is to put one hand on the front of your head on your forehead. So you've got the heel of your hand on one of those points, and your fingertips on the other side, they'll just naturally rest there and just raise up a little bit. Just lift up a little bit, and then put your other hand across the base of the back of your skull and take some deep breaths. It's very comforting and it helps calm things down and stop our thoughts racing around so much.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What would you do if you could carve out just a little bit more time in your day, maybe an hour, maybe more? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we could enjoy more time for ourselves. And one of the best ways to add something new to your life that you want to add to your life is to put it right on your calendar and identify it as what's important to you and make it a priority. I've made it a regular practice to do this for years, where I schedule personal time every day in my calendar for self-care, whatever that might look like. What will you create time for? Therapy can help you learn to set boundaries and uncover what's important to you so you can enjoy more of what brings you joy. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/slayer today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/slayer. Before the break, we were talking about how to practice the emotional stress release technique. And in this half of the podcast, we're going to be sharing some breathing techniques, how you can nourish your mind, as well as how you can cultivate resilience.
We talk about breathing techniques a lot, but it's always good to be reminded that there's a connection between the rate of our breathing and our mental peace, the rate of our thoughts. When we're breathing shallowly, when our shoulders are up by our ears, which they tend to find their way up there several times a day, we find we're a bit hunched or clenched, leaning over, reading or working on devices, whatever we're doing, it affects our breathing. So to just take time to tune into our breath, deepen and lengthen our breath, helps calm our thoughts. It's another area where we can be absent-minded, which if you think of it's opposite to like being mindful, being present. We might not notice that our jaw's clenched, our shoulders are clenched, there's tension in our neck, there's tension in our chest, and we're not breathing freely and deeply. So as we've shared in recent episodes, to remind ourselves to check in, take a few deep breaths and stretch. And again, over time, it makes a difference.
One of the breathing techniques that we don't talk about a lot that I really enjoy doing is alternate nostril breathing. That is one of my favorite practices when I'm feeling out of sorts, out of balance. And it makes sense if you think about it, because you're breathing back and forth, holding one side, one nostril down and breathing in through one side and then exhaling through the same side and then covering up that side and breathing in the other side and exhaling in and out. And just doing that for like 5 or 10 rounds of your breath, I've just noticed it's so balancing and healing. And
yeah, calms the mind and clears it, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's recommended before meditation for calming. And you made a guided practice, which is on our Patreon, how to do this. It's something I've been practicing in the morning before my morning meditation. And it's very calming and also energizing. I find it interesting. It's calming and energizing to the mind. It brings clarity and it brings peace. And of course, because you're switching between the right and left nostril, you're switching hemispheres of the brain and you're switching energy channels. There's a whole magic to how it works, but very simple to do. And yeah, you only need to practice it for a few minutes to really feel some benefit.
Yeah, it's a good reminder. Amongst all of the breathing techniques that we share, that might be something new for you to explore. And it is very, very easy to do. And again, if you're a patron, you can go to our Patreon and find that with all the rest of our guided relaxations that are available there. And then we move on to the value of nourishing your mind, nourishing the fragile mind, and what that looks like. And this is a way of rewiring your neural pathways, the areas that just easily you fall into a groove like a record of going to this space of anxiety where, oh, what if I could rewire that? What if I could make a different choice? For instance, what if I could invite in something healing and positive and sweet instead of inviting in something that is shocking, that is upsetting, that makes me afraid? The news comes to mind, the media comes to mind when I think about rewiring that pathway. If you have a habit of, whether it be scrolling or tuning into the news every day at a certain time or multiple times a day, I invite you to give yourself a break, give yourself a rest, maybe cut that back to once a week. You're not going to miss anything, especially if you have a phone. If something major is happening in the world, you're not going to miss it. But what you are going to do is teach yourself that perhaps I could do something different at that time. I could listen to some sweet music. I could read something inspiring. I could repot my plants. I'm giving my mind a rest, and I'm giving it some emotional sweetness and nutrition instead of depleting it and adding more fear to the pot.
Yeah, we're going to think something anyway. The mind is going to have its thoughts, but we often forget when we get snared by them that, as you said, the mind has these grooves of thought that it falls into, or I recently heard a monk describe it as streams of thoughts, like these riverbeds of thoughts flowing. But water can find a new course. It can be diverted to find a new course. So that's what we're doing when we're trying to switch out, making the choice to switch out to better thoughts. And one of the best gifts we can give ourselves is to stop taking in media that is disturbing to the mind, more stimulation. It's a bit of a game of Russian roulette. You don't know what you're going to come across or how you're going to feel half an hour later, but it's pretty accurate to guess that it's not going to be good. So one book that I recently read that I absolutely loved was Stop Reading the News by Ralph DeBelli. The subtitle is A Manifesto for a Happier, Calmer, and Wiser Life. Really helpful book. He gives a lot of research about the effects of the news on our mental well-being. And I don't look at the news now at all, and I didn't used to years ago, but during the lockdowns, during COVID in the UK, I would check in to see what the rules were, to see what was going on, and I got habituated to looking at the news again, and it wasn't good for me. So this book really helped me switch back to not reading the news or not looking at it on social media. I have it switched off. It doesn't serve me well. So that's one thing we can do to calm the turbulence in the mind. And the other thing is to be really engaged with good mental nutrition. We talk about physical nutrition. And if you think about mental nutrition, looking at the news, scrolling social media, it's junk. It's junk food. And we know if we eat junk food too much, it makes us feel unwell physically. We always know, I don't feel so good. I'm not going to do that again for a while. And it's the same with our mind. But we have the opportunity to nourish our mind, which is also a very calming practice. I find it helpful to have books of poetry, wisdom teachings. I like to start my day reading wisdom teachings. And it steadies my mind and gives my mind something good to think on for the day ahead. And then we might choose to ask ourselves some reflective questions or write some poetry about what we've read and what we've learned, or do some journaling about what we've read and what we've learned, so that we're actively engaged with it. And that feeds our mind alternative, good, nutritional thoughts, which is an excellent practice for calming anxiety and countering unwanted negative thoughts. I think of it as flooding the mind out with good thoughts. You know, it's like if you think of a bucket of murky water, if you put it under a tap of clean water, eventually it's going to run clear. The dirty water is going to come out the bucket and it's going to be full of fresh water. So I look upon it like that, like flushing your mind out, flooding out the unwanted thoughts. And replacing them with good, inspiring, nourishing, uplifting thoughts.
I love that affirmation by Louise Hay that all is well and I am safe. And it's something that for years I would just repeat over and over and over, or a sankalpa where you're just setting an intention on your heart that I am peace or I am peaceful. Or even the access consciousness mantra is, all of life comes to me with ease and joy and glory. These are just short, positive statements that you can make that make up that emotional nutrition, that help you rewire your mind. And even if you were to just say it 10 times a day, all of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. What if you started to believe that? What if that became true?
Because we're affirming anyway. When we have unwanted thoughts, we're negatively, it sounds a funny phrase to say negatively affirming, because affirming sounds positive, but we're repeating negative statements in our mind over and over. When we have repeated looping unwanted thoughts, repeating fears, the mind tends to get themes, and it can be waiting for us the moment we wake up with whatever's on its agenda at the moment. And putting that one issue to rest isn't a sufficient solution, because it's going to have another one lined up like dominoes. It's just going to have another one and another one, because the issue is the mind, the nature of the mind to keep delivering these things to us. We tend to believe them and take them seriously, and we take it as the thing, whatever the thing is that the mind's presenting, but it's not the thing. Unless it's really apparent that it's something that needs attention. Usually it's not the thing. It's the mind. It's the mind delivering stuff up. So if we have alternatives, good, healthy, nourishing, inspiring alternatives that have caught our interest, and it's like, oh, I really want to read this today, or I want to think about that, I want to watch this lecture, I want to have a good conversation or a walk with a friend. We've got those things lined up and ready, then we can counter the mind's attacks when it's being a tyrant.
And finally, today we'll close by having a conversation about how you can cultivate resilience and the strategies for building mental resilience and inner strength. And we've touched on some of these already throughout the episode today, but it's important to just come back around and remember some of the choices that we can make. And one of those right out of the gate is having more presence in communication, whether you're having a conversation with a friend or family member, or whether you're sending a letter or an email or reading. We are encouraged to do everything so quickly, everything at a rapid pace, and to multitask and to do all of these things, right? All the to-dos. But the mind actually needs slow time and single-pointed focus to be a healthier version of itself. So I invite you to slow down. If you are anything like I am, you might be moving too quickly sometimes, and then life will have a way of making you aware of that through spilling some water or dropping something or going after something too quickly or whatever it might be, to just, oh, I need to slow down right now. Not in judgment, but in this space of, okay, I can slow down. I don't need to be at this pace. And actually, this pace is not good for my mind.
Yeah, just noticing and adjusting, having that pause, isn't it, to notice. And we share this also so much, but it can't be said enough because it's so important, is to get outside and move, to move our bodies, to move our energy. And one example I have is a friend who suffers consistently with anxiety if she doesn't walk.
What came up when you said that to me was, what if I don't want to walk, or what if I can't walk, or the excuses that come up that keep us inside or that keep us from moving our bodies. I just invite you to push through that. Just give yourself a little extra nudge to get on the other side of it, because you will feel better You hear people say, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like moving my body. I don't feel like doing this breathing exercise or whatever. And again, that's your mind.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's the mind not being our friend.
Exactly. And that's where you're like, okay, okay, friend.
Yeah. We're just going to do it anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to do it anyway. Even if it's 5 minutes on the treadmill, even if it's going outside and just getting your snoot full of fresh air.
50 bounces, 50 Qigong bounces on your heels while you shake hands. Just count them out. Okay, I'm just going to do 50. And you count them out and do them, anything to move, because that is a lower energy in the mind, that lethargy that holds us stuck. It just increases fear and anxiety. And that's the mind not being our friend. So one of the best gifts we can give to ourselves is exactly as you just said, to just ignore it. Okay, we're going to do this anyway.
And then later, giving yourself a pat on the back, giving yourself a squeeze, and celebrating the fact that you made that choice to look after yourself.
Definitely. At the end of each day, I will list what are 5 things I'm glad I did today. And some days, often these days, I've been too sick to leave the house. So it won't be anything, you know, particularly exciting to an observer, but it might be I made a pot of nourishing soup. I did some meditation. I read something beautiful. I did some creative writing. I had a good conversation with a friend.
And it really adds up, even when you're not feeling well, when you can look at that and say, oh, wow, I'm so grateful I was able to do those 2 or 3 things. Well, thanks for an excellent conversation today, Ananga. I'm glad that we could dig into how anxiety robs us of joy and self-compassion and what we can actually do about it. Thanks for listening to Anxiety Slayer. If you want to find freedom from negative thoughts, we invite you to explore how to calm your fragile mind at anxietyslayeracademy.com. You can get 30% off for a limited time with the coupon code SPRING.